and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
One of the things I love to do on the podcast, I'd like to do so on the blog and other venues as well, but one thing I love to do on the podcast is talk about tools and resources that can help church leaders. We often, well, every time we have a podcast, we refer to our sponsors, Vander Blumen and Midwestern Seminary. But one of the great things that with the sponsorship of Vander Blumen is they've got a new tool out. We mentioned this in a previous podcast, but I want to just emphasize it one more time. It is an incredible tool. You need to go check on it. It's called the Culture Tool. It's a good URL. It's a good website to find it, theculturetool.com. So before we get into this particular podcast about some of the most common questions that pastors are asking them, us or me, whatever the case may be, I want to remind our listeners of this incredible tool that is out there.
Yeah, it's a free comprehensive staff engagement survey to help you build, run, and keep a great team. It's brand new from Vander Blumen Search Group, and they help us find churches, or they help churches and ministries build great teams by finding their key staff. And they have a ton of resources like the Culture Tool that help you with team building. You can be on the cutting edge of this new tool and improve your culture at your church staff by visiting theculturetool.com to learn more.
Yeah, I absolutely love some of the resources. At Church Answers, I have referred many people. I've said, just go to the Vander Blumen site because they're saying, is there, and we'll get to this question in a moment, is there, what's a good resource for this? What's a good resource for that? And so just go there. You'll see a ton of good resources. But we're actually going to get to that question. Now, here's what's going on. For the last couple, when did Church Answers start, Jonathan? I'm trying to remember.
Oh, golly.
Is it 3 years old yet?
I think we are...
Oh, we're getting
right at 3 years. I think it's going to be 3 years in May. Does that sound right?
Sounds close enough.
May of 15, somewhere in that range we started.
Okay, it's close enough. Well, it's exceeded my expectations. And by the way, before I forget this, I often talk about Team Rainer, the Nashville team. I want to give a shout out to Jana Bisek. She's the director of operations for Church Answers. She actually lives in the Atlanta area. As of this podcast, Jana's worked for me over a year, Jonathan, and I've never met her in person. It's kind of really...
It's going to change soon. She's coming to a big team day that we have in April.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to meeting her. But I feel like she's just part of the team. She's part of the ministry family that we have because I'm talking to her on a regular basis. I mean, I know that Jana has become a first-time grandmother. I know that Jana has a dog. I can't remember the dog's name, but it's the dog. She had the dog in her home office one time, and the dog didn't want her to talk to me, so the dog had to leave.
Oh.
I had to leave. But I want to give a shout out to Jana because she's done an incredible job of providing leadership at Church Answers. And the reason I'm saying that is when I say what are the most common questions pastors ask us, I'm primarily referring to the questions that are coming through Church Answers. 2,000 leaders on the forum at Church Answers, they can ask any question they want 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And most of the time we get back with them within 2 or 3 hours, but a guarantee of within 24 hours. And that's a pretty neat resource when we start talking about resources in a minute. I'm just getting so far ahead of myself.
You are.
But in the context of all of that, we're going to talk about five groups of questions, categories of questions that we get from pastors and other church leaders, primarily through Church Answers.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it more at the end of the program today, but Church Answers is open right now.
So yeah, we have major openings twice a year, major openings, and it'll be, well, even now, you're saying, as we speak right now. We have a limited time because we like to assimilate the people, make sure that we have to keep expanding the staffing in order to get people to adequately resource the forum and other places, but we'll have it open. It'll be limited time, so join us at churchanswers.com.
All right, so we have five questions today. The most common questions we get typically, like you said, from Church Answers. This doesn't include the can you publish my book question that we get anytime you speak anywhere.
Can you publish my book, or I self-publish this book where you put it in the stores?
Yes.
Those happen.
Those would be way above these, but those don't count.
We
can't really do anything about that. Sorry.
You see it happen almost every time we go somewhere.
Not almost every time.
Yeah, every time we go.
Every time. So, all right, number one, should I stay or should I leave? It's like the old song, do I stay or do I go?
What old song is that, Jonathan?
I don't know. I think it's a song. I'll look it up. You talk.
Okay.
Anyway, here's a question. Should I leave or stay?
Okay, there is this sense that we should be able to discern with specificity the call of God, and the call of God to go to a place and a call of God to leave a place. And even Paul, when he was on his missionary journeys, he started heading in one direction and he just kept on going in one direction. And then he said, the Holy Spirit hindered me from going. So we don't always have the perfect clarity of where we're supposed to go or where we're not supposed to go. And so I get this question quite often, and it's usually in the context of one of two things. And let's put this, let's just use the pastor. It could be other staff person, but let's use the pastor example. One, the pastor is going through some tough times. The church is maybe turning downward, or conflict and criticism. That's one. Or the pastor's been contacted by another church. So those are the two major categories. Is it a song?
Yes.
What's
the Clash? Should I Stay or Should I Go by the Clash?
What year was that, Jonathan?
I don't know. Probably the 80s.
Well, it wasn't the 60s, I can tell you that, because there were no Clash in the 60s. So I'm glad you remember your 80s music, because I didn't listen to
81.
It. 81.
Yeah.
Do you know what I was doing in 1981, Jonathan?
You were about to enter seminary at Southern, right?
Oh, well, I didn't enter till late 82. I was still I was still a banker.
All right.
1981.
Anniston, Alabama.
In Anniston, Alabama. Sam was 1 year old, and Art and Jess were
not even
around at that time. Wow.
The Clash. See, I was right.
I don't remember it, and I'm very sorry. So the question is, should I leave or should I stay? Typically what we do is we listen to the context in which they're asking the question. And the good thing about Church Answers is it's not just Rainer or Wagner or Hal or Sam Rainer. It's the community also chips in as well. And so the community begins to chip in and offer suggestions. So we listen to the context to try to discern. But I think some of the best guidance has been given by the eminent Brad Wagner. And he says, he'll say this to someone contemplating that, what's the push and what's the pull?
I like that.
The push is, what are you sensing? What's happening? What circumstances has God put you in that makes you think it's time to leave? That's the push. And then the pull is, what is it that is drawing you to this new potential opportunity? So sometimes there's only a push and someone just says, should I resign? But most of the time it's a push and a pull. And so he asks leaders to put on a piece of paper, or at least put in their mind, what is it that may be telling me it's time to leave? That's the push. And then what is it over here that may be telling me it's time to go? Two different questions. I mean, one is the new place, and the other is the present place. And he said you need to evaluate both of them. And again, that begs the question, what if you're just in a tough situation and you're asking, do I need to get out of here? And there's not necessarily a place to go.
There's that's no pull. It's just all push.
It's all push. And that happens from time to time. But I do like what Brad has to say, because that has helped many people evaluate it really more objectively than they would otherwise.
Because
some people have the pull,
but no
push. But they don't have the push. And so he says, are you sure that you cannot do what you think this over here, where you are right now, because there's not much of a push left? And he'd call that the greener grass syndrome.
Ah.
That would, where it's a total pull, but not necessarily a push.
And we got a podcast on that too, the greener grass. So
all right,
folks, go back and check that out. I'll put a link in the show notes.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, number two, what is the best resource for?
Yeah, blank.
Whatever, fill in the blank.
Pastors are looking for tools. Church leaders are looking for tools. They're looking for resources. And here is the paradox. We have availability through Google or resource companies, large organizations like Lifeway. We have the availability of resources more than we ever have. And we have more difficulty of finding those resources.
Because there's more.
There's so many of them.
It's like, which one is the best out of these 400 options?
I've looked at these and someone's mentioned something else that's not even in these options.
Just start with Lifeway. There's your
there you go.
That's the answer I get.
Well, Lifeway, and I've said this on more than one occasion, 10 to 12 years ago, some of our resources I wouldn't have used.
I wouldn't have said that 10 to 12 years ago. I actually wasn't saying that 10 to 12 years ago.
Even more recently than that.
Well, yeah, you know.
But I absolutely love what is coming out of our curriculum, our books at B&H, our events. I mean, this sounds like a crass commercial, but so be it. So, yeah, Lifeway.com is always a good place to go and to put something in the search engine there, because you can be sure, again, more of the commercial. Biblical Solutions for Life is biblical solutions, and they're life transforming. That's our vision statement. But What, many?
Five words.
Yes.
Biblical there's, solutions for life.
There's a story behind that. I said five words in chapel for the four words of biblical solutions for life. But, you know, solutions just sounds like more than one word to me.
It's like 18 syllables. Yeah. So, all right.
So the best resource, what these leaders are asking for are curation.
Yeah. Expert opinion. We have experts in there.
Our peer opinion.
Yes, that too.
The peers offer their ideas. We will then provide, this is in Church Answers, by the way, we will provide them links. And I would say, this is a random guess, I would say 10 to 20% of our questions are this.
Yeah.
What is the best resource? What are you using?
A lot of people looking for online tools for whatever it may be.
Yeah.
A lot of communications tools, texting services, online e-giving. That kind of stuff, website stuff, and we provide information about all that all the time. We've kind of learned over the past few years which ones are the ones, and people will chime in and say, yes, that's what we used, and it's fantastic.
And last night, went to a question, what is the best resource to send mass text messages to my congregation? What would you have said?
A phone?
I am talking about the text.
I've looked it up and I've got them written down. I don't have it in front of me.
I think what you said in the past is text in church.
Yeah.
And I think
there's three or four different options.
I think I went back to that one and said, you know, here's some that have been recommended by your peers that they really like. Anyway, don't hold me to that. I had to go back and look at previous conversations to appoint this person to it.
Yeah. And that's the cool thing about Church Answers Forum too. The community there is searchable.
Yeah.
So you can go and search different things.
Yeah, a lot of them do that. A lot of them now tell me it's one of the first things they do is they search before they ask the question. Mm-hmm. But go in and ask a question, get it out there too, so your peers can learn from it.
Oh boy, the next one here. What is the best polity for my church? Boy, this one is just a landmine sitting out there.
It is. And, you know, once again, let me brag on Brad Wagner. I consider Brad a polity expert.
And really?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, he's been dealing with this issue now for 3 decades.
We've never talked about church polity, so I'll have to sit down with him one day and just chat.
He's got an incredible wealth of knowledge. You know, he was dean of a leadership school at Southern Seminary, and he talked about the implications of different polity from a functional point of view. But here's one of the things, Jonathan. Sometimes the polity questions, all right, let's put it this way. Polity can have a wide variety of options within it, or it can be very narrow. So when Brad begins to answer a question about polity, he says, well, tell me what your polity is. And they may say something that's extremely broad that allows a lot of different options within that polity.
We're elder-led.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything. That means like—
No. This
even, well, that means something, but that means something totally different in every church.
Or this one, even more than that, we have elders.
Oh,
even more than we have, than we're, okay.
Doesn't mean anything.
What's the functions of those? Or we're a congregational form of government. Okay, how congregational are you? Do you vote on buying toilet tissue? There are a few churches out there that still do.
Yeah, somebody's raising their hand right now. Yeah. They're driving down the road listening to this.
But, you know, full congregationalism means you are paralyzed in decision-making unless you get a congregational vote. I mean, to an extreme.
Yes.
Okay? So one of the things that we do when we say, what is the best polity? We say, what is your polity? Okay, within your designated polity, and it may be bylaws that clearly designate that. It may be a doctrinal statement that clearly designates that. But one of the things we have to find out from the Inquirer, that reminds me.
Not the National Inquirer.
Do you remember their old slogan?
No.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Oh.
I can say, with all honesty, I have never read a National Enquirer except looking at it
in the
supermarket when I'm checking out.
Which you don't go to anymore, so you missed out on that even.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that with Shipp, that's HIPT, with Shipp delivering my groceries to me now. I don't even see what's at the checkout counter anymore. Wow. I wonder how badly they're—
I bet you could add it on to your order, though, if you'd like.
A National Enquirer?
Yeah.
You know what? This is rhetorical because you don't know. Every time I do a grocery order, almost every time, order a book of stamps.
Why?
Because I do a lot of mail outs.
Oh, okay.
And I'm just saying, I don't go to a postage machine.
You don't go to a post office
or anything like that. And some of my shipped workers have offered, like, you got any mail you want me to mail for you? When they're there.
Mailbox right up front. I mean,
I know, but they're just being nice. And last night, oh, bless her heart, I was trying to remember her name. She's such a great— she brings me flowers every time.
Awkward, but okay.
No, well, Nellie Jo's there. And here's the reason for it. She works for flowers.com as well. And so she has leftover flowers that she gives to her ship customers.
That's really nice.
So
a little customer service there.
Yeah. So how did we get on this?
National Enquirer.
Oh, National Enquirer. So anyway, what's the best polity? Determine what your polity is and be sure, and then determine what your options are within that polity.
All right. Number four, how do I handle a power group in my church? Oh, boy.
Yeah. There is no one answer to that.
We have a lot of blog posts on
power groups, bullies, critics, all of the above, because it's a pervasive and a very negative issue for many church leaders. Once again, this reflects the real life of many churches. This is not a scientific survey, Jonathan, but I was talking to someone who was who had like 100 pastors in the room. I don't remember what the context was, but I remember who he was. And he said, okay, I might be a little uncomfortable doing this, but I'm going to ask everybody a confidential question, and none of you 100 can say how anybody responded in it. We all agreed on that? Yes. How many of you pastors, if you could find another job, would leave today? It's about 80 of the 100. Raise their hand.
Just 80.
Yes. Again, that is not a scientific survey, and I don't know the nature.
Somebody's going to say, Dr. Rainer said 80% of pastors are looking to leave their churches.
I have been misquoted on more than one statistic in my life, and so that is a very real possibility. But I'd see some quotes, Jonathan, out on social media that I've said. I had no idea when I said that. Now, I could have said it.
Yeah.
Because
what's funny is I see quotes that I know that come from Dr. Wagner.
Yeah.
And it's attributed to all kind of other people. And I'm like, I know who said that originally, because I read it and I've heard him talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're wrong.
What's the one about
the ice cream one?
Yeah, what is that one?
If you want to make everybody happy, go sell ice cream.
Go sell ice cream, yeah.
Don't be a leader, go sell ice cream. Yeah.
I've seen
that. That's a Wagnerism, and I've seen it quoted by four or five other people.
Well, shame on him, though. He's not on social media, so the minute he says something, there are two or three people say, I'm going to send that out right now.
I should start claiming some of his.
No, don't. Give attribution. I think I've given attribution when I've quoted him in the past. Power group, difficult situation. We have to know the context, and that's why at Church Answers, when they say I'm dealing with a power group, they usually give me a good bit of detail. And what I love about this place is it's a safe place. Many of them just put their first name there, but many of them put their first and last name because they know that their peers are not going to take this anywhere beyond the forum.
All right, and finally, how do I handle a staff situation?
Yeah, we had an entire podcast on this recently, Jonathan, and we talked about this being one of the most pervasive issues that are facing us.
Number 409.
You can go back to episode number 409, which just precedes this, and we talked about six of the most common reasons for staff conflict, but we didn't just end it there. You wisely even offered, or maybe we put together.
First time. It took 409 episodes, but I finally got a you wisely related to me.
But you did so on another one as well. But we came up with some ways that you might can prevent staff conflict so that you don't even have to ask this question, how do I handle this staff situation? So again, our purpose was not necessarily providing specific answers here as telling you that these are the specific pain points or questions that we're getting from pastors so that you can know. And also to point you to Church Answers where we're constantly providing those type of answers.
Because you probably have some of these questions, or you have four or five of your own. I bet you there are people like you who are going through very, very similar situations, because I think that's one of the one of the blessings about Church Answers, just from me watching on the outside, is seeing the pastor's light bulb go off going, I'm not the only guy facing this.
Oh, yeah.
This situation isn't unique to me. I've got a community around me that can help me, that have been there, that have done that, and that can help me get through what I'm going through in my church right now.
And Jonathan, we were trying to remember the age of Church Answers, and we think it's
almost three years old.
And I made a dramatic shift a couple of years ago. And I said, one of the things that I really want to do is to make this affordable for anybody. And so now Church Answers is under 50 cents a day, where you can ask a question anytime you want and get an answer and have a virtual staff meeting from me.
And get resources.
And get resources on a regular
basis. Checklist for execution.
Every single month, have a virtual staff meeting live. You can ask questions. It's there forever to watch or listen to. And so I wanted to put together something that any church at any point could say, okay, I think we can afford under 50 cents a day to be able to have this resource. So it's just been one of the most incredible things. And I hope our audience has appreciated some of these common questions, but I hope many of our audience will jump over to Church Answers and become a part of it. Speaking of audience and friends, we have a great relationship with Midwestern Seminary, and we so much appreciate their leadership.
All right. Midwestern Seminary has their MDiv program. It is the flagship degree program at Midwestern and the primary track for ministry preparation. At just 81 hours, the Midwestern MDiv offers a complete foundation for full-time ministry leaders, offering everything you need and nothing you don't. Join other students in vibrant Kansas City as you train in a unique collaborative environment focused on the local church, or you can study online in your current ministry context. Midwestern Seminary is developing a discipleship culture devoted to the local church and committed to God's unchanging word. Why not start your training today and find out more at mbts.edu/MDIV. That's going to do it for us today here on Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
Okay, so now we have Church Answers open
through March the 5th.
Open enrollment through March 5th, 2018, in case you're listening to this in 2019 or 2020. It's
the future.
It's open now, less than 50 cents a day. We have two major enrollment periods a year, and the reason is we have to make sure we're adequately staffed. I've had to continue to add staff as we've continued to have people come into Church Answers to be able to respond and respond promptly and thoroughly to those who are out there. So we've got Brad Wagner and Sam Rainer and Jonathan Howe, Tom Rainer,
Tim Cool
and Tim Songster, and Mike Harlan and Scott McConnell. Scott had a great answer on the board yesterday.
He's a smart guy.
He is incredibly.
Way smarter than me.
Michael Kelly.
Yeah, talking about discipleship stuff.
So we've got an incredible team that's out there answering those questions. We'll continue to add to it as it continues to grow. So join us at Church Answers while this enrollment is open.
All right. Thanks again for joining us here today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or in your favorite podcasting app. And join us online at TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.